Well, I'm a lifelong Denver resident, born and raised here, raised my family here. So I've seen the good and the bad changes of Denver. And I'm running because I love my city, and I'm concerned that we are at a crossroads where many people like myself and current residents will not be here in 4 years to have a city that is essentially being created for the wealthiest. So I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity for prosperity in Denver.
Well, when you say that you see the city is now turning into something where it's been created for the wealthiest, what does that mean? What exactly is happening that you would like to change?
Well, under this current administration that this mayor has been in office for 2 terms, which is 8 years, and what we've seen is a city that has grown in ways that are both positive and negative. The positive aspects is, yes, we have more choices in where we go to eat and shop, but it's come at such a high cost. And that is that downtown Denver household income averages about $120,000 a year. That's nearly twice the amount of the surrounding neighborhoods that have been left out of Denver's economic prosperity. So we essentially have city resources being concentrated in the core of our city. Meanwhile, other neighborhoods like Globeville, Elyria, Swansea, Westwood, Green Valley Ranch are not getting the same types of infrastructure and economic supports as the wealthiest part of our city.
So what policies would you bring if you were the mayor of Denver to support those neighborhoods and to also halt what we're seeing is a massive gentrification, which is making so many parts of Denver just completely unaffordable for so many people?
We need growth in a city and we need revitalization. But gentrification is the downside of revitalization because it almost always comes with displacement of working families and people on fixed incomes. It also promotes displacement for folks without homes. And so we essentially create a city where the undesirables are pushed to the outskirts of the city, whereas those that the city is being built for reap the biggest benefits. So I would put in place anti-displacement policies such as, rent stabilization mechanisms. I know that there's a bill at the state, but there's also things that we can do locally because we provide developers incentives and subsidies. And part of that would be certain requirements at the front end. So, we would require, for example, a certain number of or percentage of affordable housing units. That would be required to negotiate at the front end instead of the back end, which is what the city does now. But in order to be able to do that and have rent stabilization, in other words, that, if a landlord is going to increase rents, it needs to be reasonable and not do it as another form of displacement as soon as someone's lease expires. So I would create a comprehensive housing fund, and that would pull all of the different funding streams that are spread out across different agencies into one big pot of money. And by our estimates, that would alone equal $100 million. So that is a starting place to look at how we better leverage our dollars. We also need to preserve our affordable housing unit, which this administration has been abysmal at, that we've lost hundreds of affordable housing, single-family homes and units due to a lack of monitoring and compliance. So I would strengthen our monitoring arm of our agency.
Well, another aspect of the growth that Denver has experienced in recent years is the pressures on the transportation system and the infrastructure. What do you see as the situation right now with transportation? What do you think needs to happen?
Transportation access is a direct manifestation of the equity or inequity in our city. And right now, when you look at the surrounding neighborhoods, they are incredibly inequitable access. When you have to wait for 30 minutes, 40, 45 minutes for public transportation, you know, you could lose your job, and you lose your job, you lose your home because you don't have reliable transportation. And, you know, so I would want to make sure that we are connecting. So first of all, standing up to RTD and really demanding better transit service. We have one of the most expensive, transit and fares that we pay for the result that we get back. So that's one thing. But the other is that we need to focus on transit-dependent populations rather than kind of transit for, you know, folks who are just kind of riding through from the more wealthier parts of areas and into the core of the city and going back out again. So, you know, part of that is strengthening our transit network so that we also have options for bike lanes and safe walkways. When we look at our high injury networks, we often see many of these working class neighborhoods that don't have safe passage just through the busier routes in their neighborhood. So rather than focus on those who have other options for transportation, I want to focus on folks who don't really have other ways of getting around and making it reliable, affordable, accessible for those populations.
We spoke a lot about housing, and on the very extreme end of the lack of housing is, of course, homelessness. How do you think the city has done in terms of the Road Home Initiative and how it's currently handling homelessness, given that there have been lawsuits about the sweeps and various different things like that?
Well, this mayor has talked out of both sides of his mouth. On the one hand, he says that Denver is not in the housing business. On the other hand, he's rolling out new initiatives every other week, to address this problem. Yet we know it's too little too late. The auditor recently came out with a report that's saying Denver lacks leadership and a comprehensive plan to address homelessness and the homelessness crisis. And part of that was when Michael Hancock took office, he deprioritized Denver's Road Home, which was supposed to coordinate service providers, address aspirationally end homelessness in Denver. But what we've seen instead is an increase in homelessness and an increase in criminalization. I think it's telling that one of the first major acts that this mayor did when he took office was to pass the urban camping ban, or to support its passage with Councilman Albus Brooks. And criminalizing poor people never works. We can look back in our history of the war on poverty, the war on drugs. What we need instead are supportive services. So I'm the only mayoral candidate who has been a direct service provider for over two decades. I know what it's like to provide services, particularly to high needs populations, and would scale up housing first models, which means that we would reduce barriers to people getting into shelter. You eliminate preconditions for people to come in shelter, such as requiring them to be sober first. We know that when they're able to get in off the street, that we're able to stabilize folks much sooner and provide wraparound services. Right now, people are just being moved along, and the problem is just being pushed into surrounding neighborhoods. That's no solution.
And what about Initiative 300 that Denver voters are also deciding on?
Yes, it's been, one of the probably the number one question in all of the mayoral forums that we've had, and we've had close to 30 of them now. People are really concerned, and from various aspects, those in support of it and those against it. Regardless of what happens with 300, when I become mayor, I'm making the concerns that the proponents of 300 are trying to address with the initiative as a priority. So one is decriminalizing homelessness. Two is to ensure the civil rights of people who, you know, have, you know, are on the streets, and that and how that they've been criminalized. We have to stop blaming our unhoused residents for their circumstances and looking at it as an individual failing, and instead look at it as a systemic societal breakdown where we need deep structural changes in how we provide services in Denver. And, you know, so that would be a top priority for me. I've been formerly homeless as a teen who was escaping violence in the home. So I really understand these issues from multiple perspectives. And it's incredibly dismaying to me when I hear the mayor use very derogatory language in describing homeless folks. We need instead compassion, understanding, resources, and coordination if we're going to get a handle on our homelessness crisis in Denver.
And so just to clarify, Dr. Calderon, do you support Initiative 300, or what's your official position on it?
Well, my official position is I'm not endorsing any initiative or candidate, but I will be voting for it personally, yes.
Who are the voices that you think have been left out of the conversations and decision-making in Denver, given that you are a lifelong resident born here, and so you've seen how many changes have happened in the city? What have you seen in terms of the voices that have been pushed to the margins?
Well, one of them is another mayoral candidate, Kaylin Heffernan, and I'm glad when she has been included in these discussions because she represents an important voice that has been overlooked in the city, mainly the disability community, who has been fighting for a long time for access to be heard and to be seen, and to also be the leaders in policy changes rather than having other people speaking for them. I think of those folks who are not close to the mayor in terms of his lawyer lobbying circle, who have been profiting very, very well during his 8 years. Colorado Public Radio had put out an expose around that. And so we see that small circle of people have great influence in the city. Meanwhile, everyday residents who are dealing with the congestion, the increasingly polluted air, a litany of concerns, don't get heard. And even when we're on the debate stage, Mayor Hancock refuses to acknowledge their concerns and continues to say, this is a great city and, you know, and basically people need to get over it. And so I want to make sure through my focus on resident-led development that the future development of the city starts with the residents who live here.
Well, Dr. Calderon, just as we finish up, there's a huge amount for people to find out about your campaign, your platform, your history in terms of, you know, your work in education, your work in community activism. Where is the best place for people to engage with you and find out a lot more about what we've been talking about today?
Please go to my website, Lisa4, denvermayor.org. You can read a lot more about my background. As you've said, done lots of different things that prepares me for this role, including 20 years as a, you know, management, nonprofit management executive and educator. So I would be taking a smart approach, you know, having a law degree and a doctorate to what works in our city rather than what's just politically popular. So people can sign up there to volunteer. We are a grassroots campaign. We are number one in individual donations, and we're very proud of that fact. So we are truly fighting to represent the people of Denver and not special interests or developers. Of course, we need people's donations. We still have, you know, a matter of days to reach voters, and we have a real shot of making the runoff, and so we need everybody's help in doing that. And they can also follow our events and meet me and learn more about my platform, and also share their issues, concerns, and vision for Denver as well.